I'm glad you recorded that, Maharaj.
It's recorded.
Fantastic.
So we need a revolution, and because if our farming communities don't work, our gurukulas don't work either. Because gurukulas in cities, I mean, if they don't work in farms, they're not going to work in cities. It becomes a really much more difficult challenge. And we have one householder couple here. There may be others, but there's ones I know about. Sundar Gopal, who's in charge of our gardens, and I think he has a vow with his wife that his child doesn't eat boga that doesn't grow on the farm. That's all they feed him. You wanted to add?
And just one question. You said that this is ritis or religion. So it is an interesting question that what you are talking about, you say you express it is for religion. So this co-protection and rural life dependence on Krishna and also on the cows and the land, it is for religion. What is about a religion when we leave out the cow and the land from the picture?
I would say that it's like following three regulative principles, chanting eight rounds instead of 16. So, I mean, you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you're not chanting the full package, because that's not what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada didn't say book distribution or cow protection. He said act. So it wasn't a matter of alternative. And we brought this point up to the GBC that, you know, the GBC has very much been made aware of the consequences of neglecting the care of our children in our gurukulas, and we're paying for it out of the nose, so to speak, tens of millions of dollars. It's not the only neglect that ISKCON is suffering from and carrying karma of. Certainly the cows over the history of ISKCON's age that's ended up in slaughterhouses has also very serious karmic consequences. The Radhakrishna deities that are worshipped throughout ISKCON by uninitiated people, what to speak of, not even Brahmins, but uninitiated devotees, also has karmic consequences, and the way, so there are many things, and it is our religion. Prabhupada gave us sort of a whole package, and we're meant to be living Krishna consciousness, and this is what living Krishna consciousness is all about. And we just can't, we're too long down the road, 40 years down the road, that we can just say, well, it's all right, you know, we'll work on this and then later on something else. Prabhupada just wanted, you know, his phrase was, I want everything now. And we're not really doing our religious duty, for which we have to then take some responsibility. One may be karma, and worse than that may be that we may be offending Krishna, we're offending our cows, which are Vaishnavas, just like our ladies are Vaishnavis and our children are Vaishnavas. And so it becomes a real burden. And I would say that it's concomitant to not. That's why I just gave that example, you're not chanting 16 rounds. Because it was the whole picture that Prabhupada gave us of Krishna consciousness, what we're meant to do, not just parts of it.
In this sense, this issue about the car protection and cultivating the land for Krishna conscious rural development is because it is integrated part of the Krishna conscious package, so to say. Therefore, we cannot put this question, whether we do or not, or how we do or how we are not doing, in the terms of practicality. So we cannot, you know, cover the issue with using the word practicality. It is beyond, it's far beyond that. That's something what you can cover with that, yes, type of
it doesn't
expression.
Fall into the, it doesn't fall into the realm of what's practical, right? Just like deity worship. So Prabhupada said, the more opulently you worship the deities, the more money you'll have. You save on the deities, they'll save on you. So same thing, you don't worship the cows, then you're going to have less, not more. And it's an important issue, that it isn't an issue of practicality. So in many, I mean, our whole Krishna consciousness is based on that we start with faith, and on the basis of the fact that we invest faith, we get a result. So, because technically when you sit down and the demands of cow protection, Prabhupada said, unlimited cows. So when you say that, you say, I mean, that's just not practical. So but it has to fall into the realm of faith. Of course, you have to manage it in a proper way, with intelligence. But all of these things, cow protection, agriculture, gurukula, they're not an issue of practicality, they're an issue of faith, of doing it, that if we do what Prabhupada said, we're doing what Krishna says, and it'll work. And if we want to boil everything down to practical, then we're really getting down into a very mechanistic, and we're going to become materialists. Because a lot of they don't work for the people outside. You know, it does not work to just take care of cows the way we take care of cows. It doesn't make sense. It only makes sense just after 3-4 years of slaughtering, because your profit is in the meat. It's not in the milk. But that's not the way the Maharaj lived. They had, you know, their barns. You know, you don't have houses in the world now what the cow barns were with. You know, the pillars, they weren't marble, they were like rubies and sapphires and lit up with diamonds. And where did... So either it's a fairy tale, and the Asadeva's got nothing else to do but sit and write fairy tales, or it's the truth. And if it's the truth, where did they get such unimaginable wealth? Because they get it by Krishna's blessings, and they get it by Krishna's blessings. Because even when you're telling me that you're making, you and your husband are making 150 pounds a day, that's good money. I mean, it is. Especially nowadays, when the PhDs are hoping to get a sweeper's job on the street. So just, and then if the tradition comes, then it will come, the wealth will come. Because Krishna, and then it's not just Krishna, but Srimati Radharani is the goddess of fortune, so she'll give. And it may not add up, but it won't add up, practically. Because we're not meant to just add up things practically, we're meant to depend on faith, and faith isn't always practical.
Can we say that, because you gave this example of the bridge buses, how they were seeing Indra's position in their life, and then the way they saw Indra and what type of role Indra is playing in their life, it was bringing a certain type of materialism in their devotional psychology. And therefore, Krishna was destroying the whole thing. Can we say that the way we approach Indra in modern days, let's say it is Indra's tree, it is a modern Indra's tree, and it is integrating materialism in our Krishna conscious practice in some ways?
Certainly is a good argument for that. I mean, we're arguing more and more about materialistic issues that no one would have even dared to raise to Prabhupada in Prabhupada's day. Do we believe in homosexuality? Well, maybe we shouldn't be too strict about same-sex marriage and so many other things. That maybe we should be sending our sannyasis and gurus to get PhDs and things like that. There is a lot of ideas coming into our society. Why? And this is another one. Tesco's. I mean, we're dealing with it. The devotees say, I can get what you're selling us here from New Bajadan, we can get a Tesco's at a third of the price.
These issues are, every farm has been crushed by these very issues. We have a farming system that even if there's a farmer sometimes on a farm, even the farm doesn't want the farmer's products, or speak of the city temples. So it is a major issue. But it's a psychological one. Because if petrol goes up in price, you pay the price. So once you accept that our food costs three times, four times as much, and you pay it, you build your economy around it, you've cracked it. You just accept it, and then it goes on.
And it's not that ISKCON is thriving by leaps and bounds either. So if we crush or allow or neglect our farms, it's certainly a good argument that the fact that our preaching is also not what it should be is also contributing to that. Because we're not getting Krishna's blessings, and we're not having the potency. And we see that here in Hungary. So devotees go out, and I mean, I'm constantly meeting people from, you know, ministers, prime ministers, the politicians, wealthy people, and very few people tell me, you know, I really, really read that book, and I really, really go for that philosophy. But everyone tells me, I love what you're doing here at Krishna Bell. That's the first thing. And probably for every one person who tells me how much they appreciate the books, I get 25 people who tell me how much they appreciate this. Because that's what they're all looking for. They're also looking for. They appreciate. Anyone can talk. They want to see, how are you putting what you're talking into practical reality, and how does it maintain you? And if you don't, these are smart people, and if you can't show it, all right, you're an armchair philosopher, so that's fine. You can sit around and you got a better philosophy than the next guy, but you don't know what to do with it. And you're not changing the world. You can't change the world. You have no practical alternative solution. You're talking about the solutions, but that's all you can do. You talk about the solutions, but you're not showing them what's happening. And they realize. So they very, very much appreciate that, when they can actually see that you can actually live your talk.
Alright, thanks for this talk. I'm still thinking that, I mean, leaders, our society, in over the past 30, 35 years, have different direction. If they influence, I mean, they're directions is important. I mean, obviously from here we can push. But I mean, if they really can, at least 50%, like, okay, my understanding is that when you have temple and when you have land, 50% has to be land and 50% for preaching. That's kind of my understanding. So, but it's nowadays not really happening at all. I think we have to have strategy, kind of really hard pushing from down to up. Or, I mean, you're also part of GBC that day, because that's what they listen. I mean, obviously Prabhupada's quotes are books. I mean, if you go to the manor from Brahmacharis, that's what they give you, millions of quotes like this, you know, and then they're not they're not really going to interest it, and that's what also from top leaders teach them. So it really comes from the top root. The leaders have the direction.
Oh, that's, yes, they do. And I know those leaders. They're well-meaning, hard-working Vaishnavas, even too hard-working, doing more than the average person is doing. So they're really burdened down by a lot of things. But they are open. But there is a certain dynamic to, you know, going in whatever direction that you're going, especially when the train's going at 100 miles an hour. And if you want to all of a sudden start turning the train, then you're going to have to put in a lot of energy to help turn it. And they'll be willing to do it, and I have faith that they will, but it requires communication, it requires discussion, it requires, and it can happen. It will take place. So, yeah, change should come from the top, but revolutions come from the bottom. Change doesn't work, then revolutions also bring about change. So it's not that we're going to, you know, all of a sudden go with pickaxes and start charging GBC, but GBC meetings. But when their attention is focused, and it's focused enough, and they hear it enough, then they also start thinking, and Krishna's in their heart, and they'll pay attention to that aspect of the guidance and instruction that's coming from within, and they will do it.
Maharaj, we're in a minority.
Yeah.
So how do we make our voice heard? If we were in a majority, then it would be a question of brute force. Our voice is louder than theirs. But it's very, very hard to actually. And I've spoken to Shamasundra about this a number of times. It is so hard being a minority. And lack of respect is not the word. But it's almost as if we are second-rate citizens within our community. Because we hold on to a philosophy that Prabhupada taught us, that was his ideology, that was how, in essence, in part of how Krishna lived his life, which we should try and follow. And we have to, if we follow Prabhupada's teaching, my humble opinion is, if we're to try and follow Prabhupada's teachings, then we should have communities, we should have farming, we should have cow protection. But to me, because I'm not under the ISKCON umbrella, it just seems very difficult that the temple mentality and the temple philosophy, and this is an outsider speaking, so please forgive any disrespect I may show, but it just seems the two are completely separate. We have friends who are deity worshippers. With respect, they are solely deity worshippers. Their life revolves around book distribution, deity worship. They never see the cows at Bhaktivedanta Manor. They never come and see our cows. Or if they come and see our cows, they don't come and see our cows. They come to listen to the silence. And they think it's very nice. And they will give us a little Lakshmi to feed the cows. They don't want to do it themselves. But they'll give us a little Lakshmi to feed the cows. And then they will pat themselves on the back and say, that's my second day. We'll go back to civilization now. And poor misguided Vaishnavas will just keep continuing because they're doing what they do. And it is just so hard in my mind to work out how, as a collective community within ISKCON, the farming community, the Gosevaks, how do we make our voice heard?
Just repeat what I mentioned. We may be a minority, but usually that's how even revolution. I mean, I'm not saying it's just a revolution that we want to do, but we want a revolution in thought. That's how they start. And we have good access in our European leaders meeting, in our European GBC, even in the GBC body. At least we've got a minister and ministers for, so you know, there's a voice there. But, you know, it's not even just a Krishna conscious issue. It is a cultural and training issue, is that we're brainwashed. I mean, we come from cities, mm-hmm. we come from societies where farmers are, they're just a word at best. And then the best thing you do is, you know, they have these model farms where you go in and people make believe that they're farming, where the kids can run in around the cows. They don't let the kids run in around in the slaughterhouse. They just, you know, keep them around the cows, how cute cows are. So they don't really get the real perspective of what it's about. So we're so it's really deeply ingrained. Not even just Krishna conscious, but just as people. It's ingrained. And I see that. I see that in our devotees. Although the fact that every day they'll say, God tends cows. That's what he does. He doesn't do anything else. In other words, when it means to stopping tending cows, then he doesn't go outside of Vrindavan anymore. He just expands himself. He doesn't stop tending cows. So we talk about it. We preach it. You know, it's there. But it like doesn't boil down to reality that he's a cowherd. So that's what he is. He's a cowherd. And why does he do that? Because he must have figured out that that's the best life to be. The best life is to be a cowherd. I think we should just continue. This is part of it, isn't it? That we're talking, we're getting together, and there are. I had very positive feedback when we did have that presentation on the GBC. GBC members did say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to work on it. But it wasn't that... It did have an effect. I think it was a positive effect. To some people, it was a question mark. What am I going to do and how am I going to do it? Or some zones where they don't have farms. I think it will work. We just need to be persistent. It'll happen. It'll happen. In English, you have the saying, where there's a will, there's a way. So once they're already convinced, we have to do this, then you got ministers, you got other expertise who helps them how to do it. You have other yatras that are doing it. So there it's just a matter of really sharing information and helping things develop. But if you're there, if if the intent is there, then you're 95% of the way there, then the rest is just the detail. And then Prabhupada would say, don't worry, Krishna will give you the intelligence. And he'll give you the resources if you're really trying. And I think that's the important part. The other part is the easy part, isn't it? If everyone wants, then the easy part is how to go about doing it. It's still going to be a challenge, but then at least we're all going in the same direction. And you know, it's interesting when you talk about, because I'm just thinking, when you talk about that cowherdmen are sort of second-rate citizens or devotees who are farmers, and it's true. I think every year we have a Sankirtan festival and we recognize the book distributors, right? And we spend a whole day doing that. We don't do that, for instance, we don't do what Krishna did, where he said, you worship the cowherdmen. You worship the cows, you worship the cowherdmen. By doing that activity of worshiping the book distributors, we're making a really strong symbolic statement. When we incorporate things, like when Govardhan Puja is not just about being in the temple room, but it's about worshiping the cows, worshiping the cowherd men, speaking some words about them and the importance of that as well, then we can make more of a symbolic statement that again helps to put things really into perspective. And then, of course, that was the whole idea, that GBC men would spend their time also speaking about the importance of self-sufficiency, about agriculture, about capitalism, because if they speak about it, then it will have weight in other people's minds, and that will bring about a certain type of paradigm shift.
Thank you very much.
Are we eating outside or inside?
Yes. Yeah, we'll stop here. We were set to resume at 2:45. Is that too tight for everyone? Will that be okay? We have a tour of three areas: the vegetable growing, the bees, and a house. And then we're going to come back in here and finish off with one more presentation, plus closing comments, and then setting what's going to happen for next year. Is 2:45 okay for everyone?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll resume again at 2:45. We'll meet outside, and then we're going on a tour at that time.
And what time will you be coming back here by?
It was scheduled for 5:00, so I think we should try and go back a little earlier than that.
At 2:45, where do we start?
Just outside the front of the building.
So you'll be back here at 5?
We'll try and get back here for 4:45.
I'll be here.
Thank you very much.
I'll have to be here, though. What are you going to do if it's raining?
Then we'll come back here and we'll do presentations.
Okay.
Okay.